This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment. Your time to shine. Your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and today we're talking about saltwater taffy.
Yes, which I am very unfamiliar with.
Yeah, you just had your first piece to your personal knowledge like minutes before we started recording this,
Minutes. Minutes. It was banana split.
Okay.
It was very banana-y. I thought it was going to be chewier. It was very chewy. I thought it was going to be harder, I guess.
Okay.
And saltier, but it was salty.
It wasn't not salty.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am so bad at this game. It was salty, but not too salty.
That's okay. Okay, so your unfamiliarity with this product baffles me in the way that I now suspect that my lack of familiarity with, like, boiled peanuts baffled you, because this is something that I grew up with. Like, one of my aunts and uncles have a taffy pull hook up in their kitchen.
Whoa.
Yeah. But you are probably familiar with other taffies, which might be why you had this concept of it being a harder product, like Laffy Taffy or Starburst, or Hi-Chew, if you're familiar with Japanese candies. Those are all stiffer versions of this type of candy. And those taffies are going to be a whole other episode, y'all. They're also sometimes called in the international market chews or fruit chews or toffee, confusingly, or even white or fruit caramels. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But those are not saltwater taffies.
No.
No.
No. But that does bring us to our question.
It does.
Saltwater taffy. What is it?
Well, saltwater taffy is a sweet, sugar-based candy that's chewy and sticky, but also very light and soft and, like, a little bit melty in your mouth, like a chewier marshmallow. It can be all of these things at the same time due to some of the amazing properties of sugar, which we'll get into eventually. Y'all, I don't have it for this episode. Candy making is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's chemistry and physics at the same time.
Dangerous.
As many things are, yeah. Oh, gosh. And it is actually dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
I say it very excitedly, but
I have had a number of boiled sugar related injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Saltwater taffy, yes. It's made with a combination of crystallized sugar, liquid sugar of some kind, water, salt, and some kind of fat. No actual ocean water goes into the making of these things.
No. Nope.
But salt and water, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The ingredients that accomplish all of this can vary. Molasses or corn syrup might be the liquid sugar. Palm oil or butter or coconut oil or perhaps even white chocolate can be the fat, the grease. Other stuff like cornstarch and glycerin might be added to keep the texture of the taffy smooth and creamy and to help with shelf stability. The natural flavor of taffy is just sweet and a little bit like fatty or buttery. And maybe molasses-y, and probably, yes, with a tiny twinge of salt in there, depending on what kind of ingredients went into it. But you also see a lot of fruit flavors. Banana, watermelon, orange, lemon, a lot of sweet herb or spice flavors like peppermint, cinnamon, root beer. Some of the most popular flavors are probably vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. The natural color is going to be like a satiny cream to a very light tan, but food coloring is often added, especially to flavored taffies. And it's made in these long ropes and for serving cut into bite-sized pieces and wrapped in wax paper or maybe plastic. It's soft enough that if you put a handful of pieces into a jar unwrapped, they'd all just ooze together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's sold either already packed up in boxes or from bins, which you can choose your own mix and buy by the pound or by the piece.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have witnessed that. It's a summer seasonal candy, I say.
Sort of.
It can be.
It can be, yes.
Yes. Did you have a favorite flavor?
Oh, gosh. I do not remember. I have absolutely no idea. Maybe just kind of like classic vanilla, maybe peanut butter.
Ooh, peanut butter.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, from what I read, it is a summer seasonal candy, or it is a good summer seasonal candy because it doesn't melt like chocolate. So it is great in warm weather.
Yeah, it is certainly convenient for that reason. It can be sort of a pain to make during the summer because the humidity makes a huge difference in your final product. A high humidity makes it more difficult or perhaps even impossible to get it to set up correctly. I'd say it's associated with summer because of the mid-20th century popularity of taking summer vacations on East Coast beaches where it was primarily produced at the time. More on that in our history section.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that it's a not unpopular gift, perhaps especially around end-of-the-year holidays.
Yes.
Where it is sometimes traditional for families to have taffy pulls.
That's so cool.
As like a party kind of thing.
Huh.
Yeah. If you're thinking about how on earth this is made.
I am.
Well, the basic process of taffy making is this. You bring the main ingredients to a boil, cook the mixture gently until enough water has boiled out that the sugar, once it cools, will be at some stage of firm but pliable. The temperature and, again, humidity in your kitchen means your mileage will vary here. Also, some folks like a softer taffy and some like a firmer one. For those of you with experience in candy making, I've seen recipes call for anything from the firm ball stage all the way up to the soft crack stage, which is a huge range in temperature. So anyway, you cook this stuff together, then let the sugar syrup cool enough to handle, and then you work the mass using a little extra fat to prevent sticking to your hands and surfaces and cat and whatever else are in the way. By working it, I mean that you stretch it and then fold it back in on itself and then stretch it again and over and over. And this is called pulling. The pulling is a way of aerating the candy, the same way that you whisk eggs to beat air into them. Taffy is just a lot denser than eggs and thus requires heavier labor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either add flavors during the cooking process or during the pulling process, or both if you feel like it. Coloring usually goes in during pulling. The only time that you wouldn't want to do flavor addition during cooking is for something that will get volatile, like cinnamon. I heard tell of a kitchen having to clear out for like 30 minutes to degas the cinnamon situation.
Yes.
Yes.
I recently threw some cinnamon in a fire.
Oh, gosh.
No questions, please, but...
What?
This is a lesson I have learned recently.
Was this Harry Potter related?
Maybe. You know me too well.
And he looks very guilty right now.
I had fun, but I learned a lesson.
that's good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
If a lesson was learned, that's
it was
the main thing that counts.
Thank you. And you can make your own.
Oh, yes, yes. It is hard work, though. It takes, like, probably about 20 minutes of pulling before it'll hold its shape well and thus be ready for packaging. And this specifically is where humidity is not your friend, because moisture from the air can get into the candy and prevent it from doing that firming up. If you're going to make your own, it's traditionally done by either having two people help each other pull and fold and pull, or by installing a hook in the wall about head height and, like, draping a log of taffy over it and pulling it, and then looping that back over the hook and pulling again. I'm doing this complicated hand gesture around the microphone, and it's mm-hmm. helping Annie, but yes. probably not you guys.
Yes. Annie. Well, I can't believe that, like, having a hook. Some people have a hook.
Some people have a taffy hook.
Whoa.
Why not?
Why not? You're right.
In shops, though, the process is somewhat streamlined through the use of a few relatively simple machines. You will still start with cooking the sugars, but you might move it and also help remove a little bit of the moisture by using pressurized tubes to suck the taffy from the cooking cauldrons into vats for the next step, which is usually resting for a few minutes up to a few hours, and then you get to your pulling. Pulling machines can work a few ways, but the basic design is three arms that rotate around each other. And, okay, for an even simpler version, if you hold up your arms out in front of you, bent at the elbows like you're about to cross them over your chest, but then you don't cross them over your chest. No. Instead, you start rotating them around each other so that you're making each hand, like, orbit the opposite forearm.
I think this is called the mashed potato.
It's totally the mashed potato.
It's a dance move.
I was trying to figure out what it was. I was, like, searching conga lines and all kinds of things. Anyway, it's totes the mashed potato, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the machine does, except there's three arms instead of two, and they're wrapping the taffy around each other in, like a figure eight. So it's being folded and stretched over and over again, sort of like a braid, if instead of, instead of moving down or up as you braid, you just stayed in the same place and just made a little stretchy pile. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Finally, after all of that, the taffy is fed through batch rollers, which create these twisty ropes and then go through cutting and wrapping machines. And I will say a lot of shops that sell taffy are, like, multi-generational family businesses and still use the machines that prior proprietors bought, like, as far back as the early 1900s,
mm-hmm.
The standard forearm machine goes back quite a long time. We'll hit that in the history section. But mm-hmm. yeah, wrapping machines also may come from well over a century ago. And that doesn't mean, however, that science has forgotten about the taffy machine. In 2016... a researcher published a paper called A Mathematical History of Taffy Pullers.
A mathematical history?
Yes, yes. A physics professor went seriously down a rabbit hole and investigated some 200 taffy pulling machine patents from the U.S. alone.
Whoa.
He mapped the patterns that the arms make and came up with this prototype six-rod puller that he says is more mathematically perfect. It's like a four-rod puller, but with two added static arms, which help catch and stretch the taffy.
I love that so much.
Right? Oh, it's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Nutrition-wise, it's candy. It's mostly sugar.
Yeah.
A little bit of fat in there.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe not a health food.
Probably not. Numbers-wise, as we've been alluding to, there are all kinds of flavors.
Oh, yeah.
Over 150, at least. Like cantaloupe, jalapeno, gooseberry, chocolate-coated, coconut-filled.
And, oh, yeah, like, you can flavor the taffy itself with pretty much anything since the advent of flavoring additives. Maple bacon, chicken and waffles. A popular candy shop in Ocean City, New Jersey, Shriver's, sells 70 flavors by itself.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently, a lobster festival around Portland, Maine, asked local makers Haven's Candies for a lobster flavor once, but it didn't even make it to the taste test.
I think that would have been hard to pull off.
Certainly. I mean, lobster has a little twinge of sweetness to it and a little twinge of, like, salt brine.
Well, Lauren, we could make this happen. If you're looking for a partner in crime, I'm available. Not very good, but I'm around.
If any of y'all are flavor scientists working on a lobster candy, get in touch. Let me know.
Please.
This product already exists. Oh, my goodness. I need to be aware of this immediately.
So does producer Andrew.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
I think he would retire. Maybe we shouldn't tell him.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe that's too much.
Oh, no.
Too perfect.
He's gonna edit this, though. Our plan is foiled.
Yes. And then once you've flavored your taffy itself, you can fill it with anything that's shelf stable and soft at room temperature. Another popular filling is peanut butter.
I believe it. Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
National Taffy Day is May 23rd. And shops that make it and sell it, make and sell a lot. For example, one shop called, it's spelled D-O-L-L-E apostrophe S. It's in Ocean City, Maryland. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say it, guys. I'm not from there. It's either Dollies or Dolls or Dolls or it could be
something completely random.
It could be.
We don't know.
We do not. But whatever they are, mm-hmm. Yes. They go through up to 1,500 pounds per day during the summer rush.
Wow.
I've read about other shops like the aforementioned Shriver's going through up to like 2,000. But yeah, this one in Maryland says that they go through like a 225,000 pounds of corn syrup plus 120,000 pounds of granulated sugar per year in order to keep stock.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's not a little bit.
No.
No.
Nope.
No. One more number. Combined, two of the popular brands out of Atlantic City, both of which are owned by the same family now, James and Frallinger's, sell 600,000 pounds of taffy per year.
It's a number I'm having difficulty comprehending.
I don't know how much that is. No.
Yeah, because I'm looking at this little taffy on the table.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know.
It's very light.
It's quite light. I don't really know what weights are. Which isn't helping the situation.
But we know that that's a lot.
That's quite a bit.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's a fascinating history, too, that has, like, cameos by mysterious people with code names. I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah. There's a former U.S. president in there.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's what brought us to all these pounds and pounds of taffy.
It did. But first, it's bringing us to a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it! Give me a vacation!
Vacation!
Give me a wave!
Surfing!
Give me a city tour!
The trolley!
Give me animals!
The zoo!
Give me some sea life! Give me museums!
Balboa Park!
Give me a woo!
Roller coaster!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Saltwater taffy. Its place of origin, Atlantic City, New Jersey. First produced sometime toward the end of the 19th century.
And how it got to there was, okay, candies made from sugar syrups came up as sugarcane and sugar refining spread about 1,000 years ago. The first soft, chewy sugar candies probably came out of the Middle East around that time-ish. In the early 1800s, types of taffy and or toffee were popular in parts of Britain, the United States, and Canada, which were harder than today's taffies and usually flavored only with butter and molasses. And then someone somewhere got the idea to, maybe a lot of people simultaneously, got the idea to pull taffy to make it softer. And that practice spread to the point that taffy pull parties were a fashionable thing by the mid-1800s. Like, you get together with a bunch of your friends and you pull some taffy. This was mostly a thing for kids, but also for, like, flirtatious young adults.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because you get to, like, I mean, if you don't have the hook in the wall, then you get
sure.
to, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But shops sold it, too. It wasn't just for flirting.
I can't imagine being the single adult. This is also something that happened to me recently, but not to this degree. But being, like, the single adult who doesn't have kids and a house full of people who have kids and they all disappear and somehow you're watching all of their kids and they want to do this taffy pull thing, this would be disastrous. My heart is beating fast at the thought of it. I have some memories left over from this party.
You went to a very bad place very quickly.
I did.
Is this...
just imagining all these kids.
Is this Tyler's fault?
It was Tyler. I like how you knew which one it was. When you showed up, I was like, thank God. And then I got sucked into a Yu-Gi-Oh debate.
Oh, well, but if you could participate in the debate, then.
Oh, no. I told the kids, I don't know the rules. You're going to have to figure it out yourself. I feel like by the end of that party, I was a very grizzled parent. I don't care, kids. Yu-Gi-Oh, go to the graveyard. I don't know what that means. Throw up the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. Back to taffy.
I promise I will never leave you alone with
you.
A house full of children.
Thank you. It was another learning experience.
If I ever have a house full of children unto myself, like, that's a whole separate problem. But
Yes.
I don't know where I would have gotten them.
Well, that's the mystery. I didn't know where that happened either. And I was calling down the hallway like, hello, your kids are up here. Silence.
All of our friends were downstairs going, sucker.
They absolutely were. And I can't blame them for it, you know?
You know?
I can't blame them.
Nope. Back to saltwater taffy.
Yes.
Yes. So Atlantic City, the aforementioned Atlantic City, started coming up as a tourist spot in the last couple decades of the 1800s. Like, a promenade was built along the beach in the 1870s for wealthy vacationers to stroll and to shop.
When it comes to that name, saltwater taffy, there are several stories out there. But the most popular by far rendition is the candy shop owner David Bradley's. According to him, his entire supply of taffy was soaked in salt water from the Atlantic Ocean, thanks to a flood in 1883. And when he reopened, a young girl came in looking for some taffy, and Bradley joked sarcastically, from what I read, like, he looked around and was like, that all I have is saltwater taffy. And she was like, okay, sure. And she bought some, took it out and shared it with her friends, and then everybody loved it. And Bradley's mom, who had witnessed the whole exchange, told her son that she adored the name Saltwater Taffy. And there you go.
Reminds people of the sea.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. During a trademark dispute, Bradley's sister backed up this story. Nowadays, a lot of folks do claim it just means made by the sea, since no actual salt water is involved, although, as you said, salt and water frequently are.
Yeah.
At the time, taffy was cooked over open coal fires in copper kettles, and once ready, it was cooled on a marble slab and pulled with a hook. And this taffy pull was a sight to see in Atlantic City, often on Saturday nights. It was usually pulled to about 5 feet or 1.5 meters, and when it was heavy enough to fall and then pulled and looped back over the hook. A seasoned puller would listen for the quote, the swish, then smack or slap of the taffy joining together. After the taffy was good and aerated, it was rolled out and shaped by hand and then cut with scissors into 2-inch length, about 5 centimeters. Lastly, it was wrapped in pre-cut wax paper, which was then twisted at the ends. The whole process was often visible for people enjoying the boardwalk. It was kind of, again, it was like a, oh, look at that. And you might go in when you see it.
Yeah.
I had never had taffy, but I've seen this at candy stores. Hmm. I think in like Savannah has them.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The process, especially if you have used food coloring in the taffy, it's very bright and very dynamic looking.
Yeah, it looks cool. Mm-hmm. At this time, the typical size batch was 10 to 25 pounds, which is about 4 to 10 kilograms.
And that works out by today's candy size standards, at any rate, to about 400 to 1,000 pieces.
Two big players in taffy, Enoch James and Joseph Frauenlinger, both started making their version of the candy in the 1880s. James Taffy came with the slogan, cut to fit the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Frauenlinger gets a lot of credit for popularizing saltwater taffy, both the term and the candy itself. Selling it in boxes as a souvenir from Atlantic City, he realized that the name was great for a souvenir. He too cited Bradley when it came to that name, claiming that he heard Bradley's customers calling it ocean wave taffy or ocean foam taffy, and of course, saltwater taffy.
Mm-hmm.
The story goes that the first weekend he sold the 1-pounder boxes, to his shock, he ran out by Sunday afternoon and hit up a local seafood restaurant for their oyster boxes.
Ah, oyster tie-in.
Yes, I love an oyster tie-in. And to go back a bit, Frauenlinger had been trying out a bunch of things in Atlantic City to see what stuck, from cigars to lemonade. And he advertised lemonade by men juggling lemons outside.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be like, look at that.
Sure.
Let's go check it out. But then someone invited him to take over a taffy shop. His first flavors were molasses, chocolate, and vanilla. But wait.
What?
Because there is some intrigue.
Intrigue? Taffy intrigue?
Yes. It's always intrigue, it seems, and we're always surprised by it. According to a piece by Arthur H. Gager, the third great-grandson of Frauenlinger, a Mr. John R. Edmiston, who apparently went by the professor, opened a card-writing stand at Victoria Skating Rink, rented from well-known Captain Young. What's going on here? Edmiston enlisted the help of John Cassidy, who added a taffy concession stand to the letter-writing space. The two did not see eye to eye on things, and the professor fired Cassidy but kept the taffy.
Ah.
Cassidy partnered with Bradley and one day went on to have his own store. So one day, in 1884, Frauenlinger overheard a loud argument and went to investigate. It's really great, this piece, because it goes into depth. Like, it was 20 feet away. It's very detailed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this argument was between the professor and Captain Young, fighting over the rent. The professor was about to throw a 2-pound scale at the captain's head when Frauenlinger intervened. Once the fight was dispersed, Young approached Frauenlinger, fuming at the thought of having the professor as a tenant, and requested that Frauenlinger step in and take over the lease and the taffy stand. Frauenlinger agreed.
Huh.
He did have competitors, though.
Uh-huh.
A big one being, yes, the aforementioned Enoch James. James figured out how to make taffy less sticky and therefore easier to unwrap, which was great for the bite-sized pieces he sold. He also mechanized the pull process.
The standard 4-rod taffy pullers that you're most likely to see in shops to this day came about in the late 18 and or early 1900s, right around this time.
And you can still find both of these stores in Atlantic City. Enoch James's is advertised as the original saltwater taffy.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
And both are currently owned and operated by that one same family, the Glassers.
And Frauenlinger's is on the Boardwalk Empire set, I guess?
Yes, because meanwhile, Atlantic City was growing. The famous boardwalk went up in 1896. It's a nearly 5-mile stretch, that's about 8 kilometers or so, that grew into the it spot of the Northeast, especially for the working class. Like, is New York City too expensive, but you still have some leisure time and spending money? What are those new things? So yeah, don't vacation in New York, vacation on the boardwalk. Or hey, can't book your act in New York City? The nightclubs and casinos on the boardwalk are hungry for crowd pleasers. It was like Vegas and Disney at the same time. I'm a pre-shopping mall American consumerism dream.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Monopoly is based on Atlantic City landmarks. Frauinger's is at Tennessee Avenue, and James's Candy is at New York Avenue.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to check that out. Get over my hesitation over Monopoly.
Oh, no. The point of Monopoly is that consumerism and capitalism are terrible.
I know.
And that they don't work and that you shouldn't do them.
Oh, that's great because it's very effective. Nobody wants to play Monopoly.
No, it's the worst.
I've cheated and lost. I can't figure it out. That says something. I don't know what. It's all bad.
Meanwhile, and elsewhere aside, other resorts around the United States, like Salt Air in Salt Lake City, Utah, had started selling saltwater taffy, ooh, what a tongue twister, by about the 1890s or so.
Mm-hmm.
And the original three-arm taffy puller patent, if you're curious about that, it is the most mathematically simple.
Not perfect at all.
Not perfect, but mathematically simple. It was registered in 1918, and it was called the Knitts Taffy Puller. Wanted to say that.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, I love a good legal drama, and there actually is legal drama coming up.
Yeah, more.
All about this. But anyway, okay, the 1920s was peak saltwater taffy. Atlantic City had an estimated 450-plus joints slinging this stuff. And one of the purveyors saw an opportunity to cash in even more on this. He applied for a trademark on the name Saltwater Taffy, which he was awarded in August 1923.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And he wasted no time in informing all of his, 450 competitors that if they wanted to keep using that name, they better pay up.
Oh, no.
Guess who it was? It was the professor. Dun, dun, dun. Making trouble again. Apparently, he had been in the meanwhile going door to door selling taffy.
Oh.
He was just waiting for his shot.
He was. Yeah.
That's right.
By the way, that the reason that there are over 200 taffy pulling patents in the United States is that, yeah, it was a really popular thing. It was such a popular thing and so many people were trying to cash in on it that they were like, if I can change this just very slightly, then I can make money.
What if it was all the professor?
To be fair, I didn't check how many
it
were
could
his.
Be. Could be a bunch of pseudonyms. I don't know. Well, as you can imagine, this whole patent trademark of the name thing, it did not go over well.
Oh, sure. No.
No. The Enoch James business went to a board of the U.S. Patent Office to contest it. They also called what is now the Board of Patent Appeals and Interferences. The trademark was struck down. Saltwater taffy is born of the ocean and summer resorts and other ingredients that are the common property of all men everywhere, it said. Yep. And this wasn't the first time taffy had a run-in with the law. In 1921, a dispute over improvements in taffy pulling machinery went to the Supreme Court.
What?
Yes. Hildreth versus Mastoris. Justice William Howard Taft. Yep.
That Taft.
Uh-huh. Wrote, "Not all candy is pulled, but much of it is. Until the beginning of this century, candy was pulled only by hand. Since 1900, the art has advanced from a production of 300 pounds a day to 10,000 a day with the same labor."
He also talked about the value in these machines being that they're more like cleanly than humans getting our dirty, dirty claws all over the taffy while we're pulling it.
That's true. You never know where an episode will go, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
In 1926, at Philadelphia's Sesquicentennial International Exposition, that rolls right off the tongue.
Yes. We looked it up. It means 150 a year.
But why do they have centennial?
I don't know.
Mysteries.
Yes.
Frauinger's saltwater taffy was awarded a gold medal for quality. During World War I and II, Frauinger sent U.S. troops a steady supply of taffy. I believe James Enoch did as well. During World War II, Frauinger worked around the sugar rationing by replacing it with molasses, the original sweetener used for his first recipe.
In 1947, the Glasser family finally bought James's.
In the 1960s or around there, Frauinger, they introduced the piggy bank taffy.
Piggy bank taffy?
Mm-hmm, which is, I guess, exactly what it sounds like. It was 1 pound of saltwater taffy in a piggy bank, available in various colors, with the pig at these wobbly eyes, and the taffy came out of the mouth.
Oh, that sounds real creepy.
It was, but oh. I was delighted by it. In 1978, Frank Sinatra placed the largest mail order for taffy in history, 500 boxes of James's taffy for his friends after his first performance.
Sinatra came up in Atlantic City playing some of those nightclubs there after World War II. In the 1990s, the Glasser family bought Frallinger's. The different ingredients and processes for both are kept separate, although they are made in the same place.
In 1993, for Frallinger's 100th year of being around, Arthur Gager III, who wrote that paper I mentioned earlier, wanted to celebrate the occasion with the world's longest taffy pull. Unfortunately, the weather did not cooperate, and heat plus humidity turned the taffy into goo.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm. Can you imagine just all this goo oozing around? Like on Ghostbusters 2?
I imagine it wasn't quite like that.
But. Oh, one can dream, Lauren, one can dream.
I might have mentioned it before, I definitely had an unsuccessful batch of marshmallows once where I was like, oh, this isn't marshmallow, this is just goo.
it's a letdown.
It is. It's, you know, I'm sorry it didn't work out. I hope that with climate control, he can figure it out sometime in the future.
Yes.
Very important sounding.
It is. The world's longest taffy pull. Maybe one of you listeners can figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Invite us to it.
Absolutely.
Done deal. We're counting on you.
We are. We have just a little bit more for you all. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with...
Listener mail!
It's a poll. Obviously.
Clearly.
I don't feel like I even need to explain that. There's a whole, like, we just did a whole physical thing, too. I had a rope.
And she did. Yeah. Yeah, it was
I was using my legs.
Tug of war between you and the wall. Yep. It was very, very involved. Yes.
I try to bring my all. Amy wrote, I grew up in Bangkok, and food court is the big deal at malls. Since most people live in small apartments and not every house has air conditioning, folks would spend their time at the mall window shopping and eating. After school, me and my friends would go to the mall to hang out and mainly grab a bite. They would have many restaurants from Korean barbecue, hot pot, Pizza Hut, KFC, McDonald's, and just general food court. The food at the food court would be traditional Thai food. There's at least 20 different stalls selling a variety of food, from noodle soups to papaya salad. Food court is very popular among Thai people because it's affordable and it's much safer than street food. In order to get food at the food court, you just have to add money to a cash card. There's a booth that you can go to. Then you approach the stalls that interest you. This system makes it easier as we tend to go to more than just one item. You might get chicken and rice as your entree and soda to drink, then some fried chicken and maybe fresh fruit for dessert, and everything you need is right there in the food hall. Some of the newer malls would have stalls from famous restaurants around Bangkok and a much wider variety of dishes. It's truly next level, and it's worth checking out.
Oh, that sounds great.
That sounds so good. I mean, a good food court like that has, like, you know, your go-tos, but then, like, yeah, all kinds of stalls.
Yeah, like local cooks and chefs and people, yeah, preparing food that is fresh and tasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are fun. Yeah.
Yes. Aaron wrote, let me preface the story with the fact that I have a very fair complexion, so pale that I make most other pale people look tan by comparison. As a child, I was what you might call a very selective eater. Not a single vegetable ever crossed my lips, and only a very few fruits. When V8 Splash, a fruit-flavored juice drink, hit the market in the early 90s, boasting a full serving of fruits and vegetables in every glass, my desperate mother was delighted to find that I actually liked it. She happily allowed me to drink as much as I wanted. I went a little overboard, though, and soon I was consuming an entire half-gallon bottle every single day for months. One day, I randomly noticed that the soles of my feet looked yellow. I showed my mom, who checked me over and concluded that my palms also looked yellow. This kept getting worse and worse, spreading even to my face, but we hadn't made the connection, so my concerned mother took me to the doctor. Worried that I had jaundice, they ran all kinds of liver function tests, but they all came out negative. The doctors were stumped. We were stumped. I was just turning a lovely, sickening yellow for no apparent reason. It wasn't until several weeks later that my mom was casually looking at the ingredient list on the juice bottle that the light bulb turned on. The juice I had been guzzling nonstop was comprised primarily of carrot juice. The beta-carotene overload was making my normally ghostly skin turn yellow. My mom instantly cut me off. After a few weeks, the yellow began to fade away, and I was back to my standard Casper White self. Even though V8 still sells Splash under the rebrand of V8 Fusion, I haven't been able to bring myself to drink it in over 20 years.
That's fair.
Wow.
Can't blame you.
Yeah, no. That is indeed a smidge overboard.
It is. If you're turning yellow from all the juice you're drinking, probably. Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to say, this reminds me of this, I used to say I did not want to get tan because I thought my skin made me look like a sickly banana. And that was, my parents would always make fun of me because I don't know where sickly banana came from.
Well, but you thought that was a good thing?
No.
Oh.
I did not want to.
Oh, you thought when you were tan, you looked like a sickly banana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a very specific thought, and I don't know. I'm sure you didn't.
Who knows? Who knows what I was going on?
Although,
was going on up here?
This wasn't at the time that you were eating all those carrots, was it?
Oh, no. What if it was? What if this is the same thing was happening to me?
I don't know, man. Mystery's history.
I've got a lot of things to think about.
Many lessons were learned this day.
I know. I feel like I've really changed.
You've been on a journey. It was a hero's journey of beta carotene and taffy.
And cinnamon. And fires.
And
well, you live and you learn. At least we lived, as Seinfeld says. And I appreciate this opportunity to continue learning. And we love hearing from listeners who help us learn these things. So we would love to hear from you. Thanks to both of them for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saberpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at SaverPod. We do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thank you, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.